I'm Jeremy Hobson in Mexico City today, and we're hearing a lot this week from President Trump about the border wall, which he wants Mexico to pay for. Although it appears he won't get the funding he wants from Congress for the wall in this week's bill to keep the government running. The president says the U.S. needs a wall to stop the drugs and to stop people from coming into the U.S. illegally. Well, right now, we're going to hear the stories of two friends who have been on the other side of the law when it comes to immigration. We've agreed not to use their last names. We met Eddie and Carissa on a rooftop patio at Carissa's apartment in Mexico City, and I started by asking Eddie to tell me his immigration story.
So we moved to the U.S. when I was five. We moved there with a legal visa. We ended up overstaying there,
You were living illegally in the United States.
We were living legally, and then we ended up living illegally for the rest of the time. I went to college there. I lived in California, so it was easier to get around that, so long as you had a tax ID number. And after university, I kind of just was aware of the limitations of my status and decided to come back to Mexico.
What were the limitations of your status?
Well, I think by going to university, you kind of train yourself to have a corporate job
And you couldn't get a job like that without legal status.
Well, since then I've learned that you could, but that took way too much effort. that was not one of my specialties, trying.
So you decided to move back to Mexico?
Yeah.
Do you feel good about that decision now, looking back? Would you rather be in the United States?
I think that's way more complicated. Yes and no. I think since I grew up there and I was little, I wish I had... I have the mentality of someone that grew up in the U.S. In my mind, I should be able to go back. But I don't have the same social security as other people, so I can't go back. I'm so happy with my life now that it's give and take. And I guess I've given up something to have this.
Okay, let me go to Carissa, who has kind of the opposite story. Tell us what happened with you.
So I grew up in Colorado and Oregon and felt like I'd had amazing experiences in those places. And I wanted to try living abroad. I chose Mexico thinking that it would only be a couple of months, and if anything really went wrong, it was close enough that I could hop on a plane and be back in the States in a couple hours for a couple $100. So I came to Mexico kind of on a whim, and that was many years ago now.
And you never got the legal status that you need to be here?
When I first came down, I was kind of in and out. I was freelancing, I was popping around to different Mexican cities. So I come down for a couple months and go back, and you can have 6 months being here. And then eventually I ended up working here formally and had a working visa. And then when that ended, I reverted to a tourist visa. And as long as I come and go every 6 months, I haven't worked here again, so that hasn't been an issue. But yeah, I just have to make sure to not overstay that 6 month visa.
But there was a moment when you had to bribe an immigration official.
Yes. So there was a time very early on in my Mexico experience where I was in Oaxaca, and in Oaxaca City. From there, it's pretty common for people to make border runs. They'll go down to Guatemala, and from Oaxaca City, I think it's like 12 hours on the bus. So I asked around. I didn't really want to take that bus. I wasn't sure if that was safe. Didn't want to do it. And there's a big population of foreigners in Oaxaca. All the foreigners said, you can go to the airport, you can find this guy, Jose, look for a time when there's not flights coming in, knock on the door, tell him your story, couple thousand pesos, he'll stamp your passport as if you've just arrived. So that's what I did. Sort of negotiated with him, and he said eventually, why do you want to be in Mexico? Everybody else is going to the States. And I said, but I love Mexico. And this is a common conversation. I love it here. I want to stay. And he was still kind of skeptical. Why do you want to be here? And finally, knowing a bit about Latino culture, I said, I have a Mexican boyfriend, which was not true. But he went, ah, todo por amor, and stamped my passport. And I got another 6 months.
And do you still have to leave every few months and
come back? I do now, yeah.
Why not just get a work visa?
Well, I've never actually, since my previous role, I haven't worked for a company here. So there hasn't been that opportunity. I do have a lot of friends that own companies and they've said, hey, just pay the legal fees, which will be like $400, and you can kind of fake work for our company. But it's been easy enough to leave, and I come and go often enough that it hasn't been an issue.
So what do you think about the rhetoric from President Trump about immigration, saying we've got to be tougher on immigration, we've got to tighten border security, we can't have people living in one country, especially illegally, when they are legal residents of another country?
I do believe that, like, American values, the idea of order, and I can understand the argument coming from that sense. These people, I mean, I guess I should have, but we were, that's what I don't understand, we were categorized, we were in a system. We may not have had a social security, but most, from my understanding, most immigrants do have tax ID numbers. So I know when we were in the U.S., we kept paying into a system which we had no privilege of taking out of. And that's what you do. That's how you open a bank account. Why? Because in the I mean, my experience is mostly California, which I understand tends to be more progressive in that sense, is you don't have a social security number, that's fine. What's your tax ID? And we did get audited several times. But as long as my parents were just claiming what they were making and giving it, like, the U.S. doesn't mind. Money is money. And that happens a lot. I think the whole idea of these people taking from the system, they might, but I am very aware of a lot of us who put in and never took out, and I don't understand that part of the argument.
You self-deported, by the way, long before the era of Donald Trump.
I didn't even know I did that until John Kerry was like, self-deportation. And I was like...
You mean Mitt Romney.
Oh, wait, what did I say? John Kerry, yeah. Mitt Romney, sorry.
Carissa, what about you? What do you think of the rhetoric from Trump?
Trump's bad hombres thing really offended me. I think it offended everyone. But it... The day after the election, I was here, and that was the only time that I've had somebody yell at me about Trump. Otherwise, Mexicans would never be that impolite. So the day after the election, I went shopping in this Liverpool. It's like a department store here. And the woman who was helping me stopped midway through and said, wait, are you American? And I said, yes. And she started kind of screaming, how could you guys do this? The peso is plummeting. What's the problem? We've never tried to hurt you, blah, blah, blah. And she actually had to just walk away. And one of her associates came over and sort of apologized and helped me check out. So I feel terrible that we're picking on Mexico in particular, because most of Latin America is kind to Americans. When I go to visit places, I've never had an issue. And so for us to call an entire country, for Trump to call an entire country bad hombres, made me feel terrible as a person that travels in the world.
Now, you just used we to refer to America. So do you still consider yourself an American?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I go back to the States a lot. My family's there. I'm very much an American culturally. I'm not a Mexican.
Let me just bring it back around to what we were talking about at the beginning. Why not just do it legally? Let's start with you, Eddie.
I think if you can, do. But to pretend that the world isn't complex is to ignore reality. And life happens. So it just does. That's how we've gotten to our places. Whatever you think life is supposed to be, forget it, because that's not what it's going to be. And I think you end up pitting yourself into corners, and you have to work yourself out of it. And sometimes pragmatism is more important than legality.
Carissa?
So initially, I was coming and going and working freelance for clients in the States. So there wasn't really any incentive to pursue legal residency here. And I wasn't sure that I would stay in the first couple of years. And then I did work here legally for a couple years. And then that ended pretty recently, so I reverted to tourist status. But I haven't even been here 6 months, actually, since that ended. So after a couple years, I started to really think about being here more permanently. But it took that time to decide I wanted to stay. So now I have the opportunity to stay and pay a lawyer. And I think I also mentally converted a little bit to deciding that this is someplace I want to more permanently be. And that I do want to be legal here, honestly, just out of solidarity in a lot of ways. I want to have legal Mexican status so that I can eventually, after 5 years, you end up with semi-permanent residency. And I would like to have that because the place has a little place in my heart. Mexico has a little place in my heart that I would like to have legal representation for that.
That's Carissa, who didn't want to use her last name, an American citizen living in Mexico, and Eddie, who also didn't want to use his last name. He's a Mexican citizen who was living without documentation in the United States and self-deported to Mexico. We met on Carissa's rooftop in Mexico City. And when you look at the numbers, there are an estimated 1 million American citizens living in Mexico, and estimates are that the vast majority of them are doing so without proper documentation. This is Here and Now.